The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Still to come this hour, the likes of many a Bet Bash, not panelist, but attendee, Rufus Peabody here standing by, James Salinas, contest winner, super contest winner. He'll be hanging out with us later this hour. First, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. I haven't read any of these yet today, so let me run through some. Rich PSM, this on the heels of so many great responses for Las Vegas. Chris's appearance yesterday said, thank you, Gil. Tremendously useful interview. Taking emotion out of plays, watching sharp and square movements. He seemed to say CLV's not always needed if there's enough square money, and that helps us who are too busy to chase lines. Chris is great. So many responses, all positive to his appearance. JW One Man Wolfpack, the Rams brought in retired Eric Weddle the year they won the Super Bowl, so that Rivers to 49er story wouldn't be unprecedented. I was referring to quarterbacks, of course, JW. But yes, Eric Weddle was a similar story. Jamie Leva woke up singing Sampsonova. Thanks for lodging that Teddy's jam in my head. That's actually Levert, by the way, not Guy. Just want to point that out. He said, see what I did there? Kelly feels me wherever he is. Let's go, Ludmila. Have a fantastic weekend, boys. You too. This is from, Mike Stacks letting us know about, again, with the DraftKings contest, Survivor ties advance, and also that the week off is in the Pick'em game, not in Survivor. Thank you for that. And this also from one more here. Oh, this is from, JW apologizing for the Weddle thing. He says, maybe this is why I stink at Immaculate Grid. No, I don't think those two things are related. Immaculate Grid, big obsession. I got to get my Immaculate Grid today. Logic 3227, I'm in a few Survivor contests at DK, my first time doing it, and I am so excited I can't even put it into words. Sports Avant, Pagula Golf face off in the quarterfinals and then our doubles partners later in the day. Oh, silly tennis. Yeah, man, that is a little awkward. I think Coco, again, Coco's one of my picks today, got her against Pagula. Minus 145. It's north of minus 150. Don't play it higher than minus 155. But yes, going to be awkward when they're on the doubles court afterwards. That's for sure. It is Gil Alexander. Rufus Peabody joins us. Bet Bash 3 attendee who had a fire in his building this morning and is doing this on little sleep as well. How you doing, man? You okay?
I'm a little tired. I didn't expect to be this tired.
What happened?
Well, at 5:30 a.m., I hear an alarm go off and it's like, attention, attention, attention. An emergency has been reported in the building. Please exit out the stairs. Do not use the elevator. Really, really loud. Keeps going on. I'm like, this is going to stop, right? It's some sort of thing.
Yeah, some sort of thing.
I mean, if it had been a more serious fire, it might not have been good for me. But no. I waited like 10 minutes before I actually went out. And there was like
sprinkler. Everybody okay? Do we know?
Yeah, I think so. Turns out it was on like a ninth floor balcony.
Oh, honestly, this stuff could be serious.
What somebody said, what I heard from, I got to meet some neighbors. That was nice. Was that there was someone apparently got in like an hour before the fire happened and was like passed out in front of the elevator.
Oh my God.
And then it happened in his unit. So maybe they put some,
I tell you, when I lived in San Francisco, this exact same story, Broadway and Laguna, big building in San Francisco, this exact same thing happened. This was no joke. This was in the late 90s, I want to say. And some poor girl came in late night. She passed out after putting a pot on the stove, and her entire apartment burned down. The entire building was out of the building. Hate to bring that down, but you just triggered this memory. And we literally had to walk by her body in the lobby afterwards. Like, it's an awful story.
But she died?
She died.
Wow.
Yeah, a young girl in her 20s. Like, it's an awful story. So I hope not that I didn't want to make it this kind of thing, but I mean, it can be really serious. So I hope everybody's okay.
Well, when I was out, like, I didn't see any smoke, just like flooding from sprinklers, basically.
Okay. All right.
So clearly the water pressure is pretty good in the sprinkler system.
Yes. And you still a trooper got down here. What a guy you are. Appreciate it.
I had no other choice.
Didn't see a Legacy Club. I saw a Captain Jack and I saw Tom Viola. Is it Viola or Viola? We're going
Viola.
I think it's Viola.
I took the night off.
You did take, well, yeah, you were doing other
you
things.
Have to,
would you like to tell everybody what you're doing?
I can't, no. You can't go for five straight nights to the Legacy Club.
You can't. Yeah, Bill Ady was saying he's just protecting his liver. He didn't go last night either. Yeah. So I was mentioning earlier that Captain Jack and Tom, who both love you, of course, at Unabated, but they said you might not be, they didn't say this, so we kind of got to this, you might not be the greatest describer of what Unabated does. Would you like to prove them wrong?
Oh, I mean, I think I did a great job the last time I was in here with the elevator pitch, but I'd practiced it.
Okay.
And I didn't know I was going to be asked again.
Okay. Well, I'm curious because people want to know what you do. So you work at, you're half the Massey Peabody Analytics team. You're a professional bettor, of course.
Yeah.
And you are an unabated founder, correct?
Yes, co-founder.
Okay. What does unabated do?
Unabated provides tools to help you be a better bettor.
Okay.
That's very boilerplate, right?
Yes. What sort
of
tools?
It allows
Rufus?
You to quantify your own opinion.
Okay.
And so to understand the value of a half a point, a half a yard for props, a half a win for regular season wins, that type of thing. Even 3.5 wins, like alt lines, alt totals, you know, to be able to monitor the market and to be able to understand what a line move means.
So that's heady stuff. What do you find, maybe don't find, maybe you know the answer to this, that users tend to gravitate towards the most? What tool do they gravitate towards the most?
I would say it's our trading tools, our alt line stuff that integrates with the odds screen. So you can see, you know, which line is better. Would you rather take -3, -110, or -2.5?
A very common question. Very common
or
question.
Or a money line at -145 or something.
That's huge. Unabated.com for all
Unabated.com.
You and Captain Jack, co-founders of this?
Yes, Matt Snyder. There's others involved.
Everyone's
still
friendly?
And we have a really, really talented engineering team that really drives everything we do.
Everyone still like each other? Still love each other? Okay, just making sure. And it's
beyond
your expectations of what's already happened? Is it live up to all your expectations?
You know, I'll say I didn't. I would say yes, but I also didn't really know. I'd never really been involved in a business like this before.
Yeah.
So it's been a different kind of adventure.
Okay, for those who don't know you, and they're like, Rufus Peabody, was he a horn player in an R&B band of the 70s? No, he was not. But he is a professional bettor who, I guess, came, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember my first knowledge of you is probably most of the Washington Post. It's a little rag in D.C., the Post. They did a piece on you about your Super Bowl props, you and your team at that time and that process. And that, I think, was your first kind of brush with fame in all of this. What are you? Oh, you're smiling at that. You don't like the brush with fame part?
No. Yeah. I mean, it was
a notoriety, whatever you want to call it. What are you what are you betting these days in the whole calendar? Do you end up, I know you're a golf guy. Is golf your A number one?
Yeah, I'd say golf and college basketball now are like 1A and 1B.
Whoa, that's a development. You didn't used to do any college basketball.
No. We brought on somebody about a year ago who's been amazing. Like, he has a brilliant college basketball simulation framework, and I've been able to help a little bit, but it's mostly him. But help with a little bit of the projections going into it.
Would you like to share his name, or does he not want to?
Well, he's on Twitter, Telemachus.
Okay.
Although he says it's Telemachus, but
you guys can work that out.
He's fantastic. He's a great guy. He's a great person too.
Yeah.
And
so college basketball, so that ends up being, because it was so profitable, that ends up shooting to number two for you?
Yeah, and there's just so many games, and so we can do a lot of, we've been able to scale that up to be able to do quite a lot of volume.
And it's all pre-flop. You're not doing any in-game?
We have not done any in-game, but we have the infrastructure that we should be able to.
You should be.
We just have to figure out how to go about that this year.
So the other thing that I've obviously observed you doing is halftimes of college football games. You still doing that?
Yeah, not to the same extent we used to. I think I'm going to look back through and kind of, I haven't done a real model revamp in some time. Mm-hmm. So it was on the agenda of things to work on this summer. However, I haven't really gotten to anything on the agenda yet for this summer. I haven't started looking at football, Gil. I don't think that's ever happened at this point.
Not pro or college?
I've bet no futures.
And you usually do.
Yeah, normally
so
it's
So why is
July.
That? Has life gotten in the way?
Life, I think I've been doing a revamp of the golf model code.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of taken a lot of time and energy. And
what was lacking in your golf code?
I don't know. Lots of things, I guess. But
right.
Organization, a little. I'm making it better organized and such that I can adapt and test things and evolve, have the code evolve a little bit.
I see. So structurally.
Yeah, structural change.
You're not adding layers or anything to it.
Well, I'm making the code better so that I can do more going forward.
Gotcha.
It's like building a foundation for a home.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. I just want that to be clear between that and adding different stats onto it and layers, because I remember my days with Dr. Bob, he would look at himself and he'd be like, I've added too much stuff. I have to pare back.
Honestly, it's kind of what it is. It's like I've added stuff over the years, and without like a really good framework to do so, mm-hmm. it's just been, it's like if you build a house and then you do an addition and then another addition and another addition, right. and eventually it doesn't look like much of a very pretty house or anything. So
I hesitate to ask you this question. You don't have anything in the BMX or not BMX, but
I mean, yes, I have a lot of things.
Yes, no, St. Jude's this week. Do you have anything? Would you like to share one of these?
I think we have Xander outright. We have a lot of matchups, but I think that's sort of top player that we have the most on in terms of bets.
First leg of the FedEx Cup. You got some Xander outrights. What don't you bet at all? Like, what do you? So NFL season, you've done no work.
I will. I'm going to be cramming the next few weeks for sure.
Okay, so you're not one of these. Because our next guest, James Salinas, who we're going to find out, not to spoil it, but his whole thing, and he's won contests doing this year-long contest, his whole thing is he just goes in cold turkey. Like, that's his whole thing. Because in a contest, he doesn't want to be polluted by anything prior. But yours is different. You're going to cram here.
Well, it's just about updating the ratings.
Yeah.
And so, and there were changes, and there are changes we're working on for college football for the Massey Peabody ratings because football has changed. I mean, the transfer portal has changed things in a big way. And so you need to be able to account for all these personnel changes.
How about the play clock not stopping? That's got to be a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Massive thing for your career. Do you think you will be adjusted to that early, or is it going to take some time?
It's a good question. I haven't thought about it that much, to be honest. I remember reading about it, but I have not.
All right. Okay. We'll get back to more Rufus. What does he not bet? Like, what has life gotten in the way of that? He's just no longer sees an edge.
Baseball.
Which doesn't have time for. There's an answer. We'll delve into that. Oh, so many summers spent betting baseball. Rufus Peabody in studio next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander at the South Point on a numbers game. Rufus Peabody hanging with us here at the tip of the strip. Kind enough to join us this morning. Bet Bash 3 attendee, Vegas resident. You were just saying before the break that baseball is the sport that you no longer bet.
Yeah.
This
was a pandemic thing.
Oh, okay.
So 2020, the pandemic happens. I'm like, I'm going to put my baseball prep on hold. Like, it's March 5th.
The world is on hold and baseball's on hold.
I get COVID. Right. When is baseball going to start? I don't know.
Weren't you like the first human being to get COVID?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know when baseball's going to happen. I don't really want to prep for something that I don't even know if it's going to happen. And so I was like, I'm just going to take the year off regardless. And when baseball came back, I found that I did not miss it. And it was so nice to not have that mental grind day after day.
So here's the thing. So VSiN started in 2017. So most people don't, I don't know if most people know this about me or not, because I mention it from time to time, but those early years of the 2010s, all I was a baseball bettor, right? 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. There is nothing like the baseball grind. It is all consuming. And I don't know if you had.
You don't get a day off.
You don't get a day off.
Football, you know, you have, there's a rhythm to the week.
Right.
Even golf, there's a rhythm to the week. It's weekly, but.
I can't tell you how many days at the Hard Rock, even in good seasons, right? 2012, 2014 were great seasons. 2013 was terrible. 2015, that was break even. But even in good seasons. Odd years
are bad, even years are good.
You had
the
same
experience. That was the case for me.
Yes.
Every year, basically, 2010 to 2018.
We were the San Francisco Giants.
One odd year that I did okay in.
So how many times, like, I had these conversations in my head many times where I'm like, this is a terrible way to spend my days on Earth.
Yeah.
Did you have that inner dialogue?
Well, I wasn't having to watch the screen as much or anything like that. But back in the early days, I was having to manually press things to run lineups. And so I had to be around 3 hours before game time.
Yeah. It's not that I don't bet futures things in baseball now or make creative bets towards the end of the year. Like, I pick my spots, but the day-to-day grind of it can't anymore.
It's a real job.
It's a real job. I don't have time, but you can't do it anymore. It's such a mental struggle. And by the way, I'm so glad, because one of the reasons also that I stopped that is starting pitchers came out earlier as the years went on. And so your ability to wrap your hands around it, right, to quantify that, there's so many moving parts. You got to know bullpens. Who are they going to use tonight? How's the rotation? I mean, so at some point it just becomes, you know, impossible to sort of harness. So baseball is the answer to that.
Well, and the market has become a lot more efficient too.
I mean, yes.
There's so much good data available and so many smart people looking at that data that it's harder to get an edge.
That's
right. I mean, I think sports where the data is less available and it requires a lot more work to parse through it, those are sports where there's bigger edges.
Yeah.
And that college basketball is a great example of that.
Care to share a detail about college basketball where you feel there might be an edge to be had?
No, I think it's just doing a lot of little things well. I think that's the kind of the key in every sport.
Yeah.
Just figuring out what is skill and what is luck,
mm-hmm.
and kind of building a process to model the game and the way the game's actually played.
You are, like myself, you're a Washingtonian by birth. And so I always say this, we are too young to have been Senators fans. We are too old to have been Nationals fans because we left town. So we grew up as Orioles fans. Baltimore Orioles were the thing. They were one of the great franchises in all sports, the Orioles way. You are of my mind. I took a lot of incoming for this opinion. Before the trade deadline, I was like, you know, if you can trade one of their 10th to 20th best prospects for somebody, okay. But I didn't hate that they essentially are playing for a dynasty rather than a one-year thing. You sort of subscribe to that, too. You were happy that they didn't go crazy the trade deadline.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think they have a legitimate chance this year, but I think people overestimate how much a trade deadline acquisition is actually going to move the needle. Like, you might change your World Series probability by, 0.4% or something like that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to me, that's not worth sacrificing the farm in the future. And to me, it's interesting to think, as a GM, how would you value this year versus the next year and the year after that?
So let's take the other version of the switch. As I also, just raising my hand, I also didn't think that the Angels would ever trade Shohei, because I think reality gets in the way. Like I said, the mechanically sound baseball decision would be if they traded Shohei, got a bunch of players. But there's no way they can do it, because if you trade him, what are you saying to your fan base? Like, what are we doing?
Well, the Orioles traded their all-star closer last year at the trade deadline.
But that ain't Shohei.
Yeah.
I mean, Shohei
and Trey Mancini,
beyond.
Who was like the heart and soul of the team, who had recovered from cancer.
That was
going to be a free agent.
But didn't you find that a little odd last year? I guess you were.
No, I was on board
loved
with that
too.
I was on board with that. And guess what? The team continued to overperform.
No, you're right.
You know, it's like Bill Belichick trading down in the first round or trading a pick this year. Maybe it's not Bill Belichick, but trading a pick this year for picks next year is always a good move for an NFL team.
Let's segue back into sports betting for a second. But just want to get your thoughts on the Orioles, because I wanted someone to corroborate my opinion on that they're not crazy for not having done it. So far, so good. The Angels look terrible for
The Angels, that was the dumbest decision. I mean,
you don't like that.
They had like a 12% chance of making the playoffs, and you're trading what little farm system you have to try to go all in for this year.
Yeah, they could. I felt the same way about the Padres. I was like, they can't trade Blake Snell either, because it's like, what are you? You were all in. You were supposed to be so good. What are you telling your fans at that point if you blow this up?
I mean, if I was the Orioles GM, I would have tried to trade Austin Hayes.
Yeah,
I would have wanted to trade for prospects because you want Kjerstad up, or you need to make room for Kjerstad, Kowser, et cetera.
I guess the distinction I'm making though is in the Angels and the Padres case, they had all of these expectations, these massive expectations.
Yeah.
The Orioles had the benefit of not having that, and so could build this long-term thing. So it's interesting in that regard. I want to go back to sports betting here in our last few minutes for a second. What is the big, if you had to say, to all the folks listening who are either at different levels of sports betting, from the brand new to the newish to the somewhat advanced, the whole spectrum, what would you, as the single biggest bit of advice, maybe it's a do this, maybe it's a don't do this, maybe it's you have to understand this. What is the single biggest piece of wisdom you can provide?
I would say track what you do. The key to being successful in sports betting, and I think anything, is being able to learn and grow. And so you need a way to be able to learn. And I think data and tracking your opinions and how right they are, like, is helps to do that. And so and you don't need to do it. There's not one way to do it. But I think without that, you're really kind of guessing.
It's a great bit of advice, because what percent, if you had to guess, what percentage of people do you think actually track every bet they make?
Not very high.
10% even?
Nah, much lower.
I'd say much lower, too. If I were had to bet on what your answer would have been, that would have been on the short list. The other one I thought you would have come up with is the ability to overcome negative variance, or to process that mentally, to not get discouraged by short-term dips, because everybody has them.
I think those two are related, though. If you have a process and you can grow from those short-term losses, that's ideal.
What is the way, just to be relatable here, you too suffer just horrible moments where you seemingly can't get on the winning side of things. But you're more robotic than others, right?
I think I'm less robotic, but...
Well, maybe you are, and the new Zen Rufus might be. But back in the day, you were all about, you know, the numbers, I would say, in a different way. I could be wrong about that. Maybe you're always like that. But does it even, still to this day, you're not impervious to being discouraged by it, right?
No, not impervious at all. I think it can be hard. I mean, I've been doing this for a living since 2009. I think the grind is hard, and it can be hard to have that same sort of enthusiasm about things. I think that's been the bigger challenge for me now. But I think the highs are less high from winning than they used to be, clearly. I think that, I don't know if your experience is the same, but when you lose, it's still very difficult because you don't expect to lose.
Right.
Do you
think, because you and I used to have these conversations a decade ago, where you just broader from those two micro answers, you thought that, like, later in life you'd want to do more. Like, you always were great about contextualizing this and being like, you know, maybe there's more to life than this. Do you feel that way now, or do you think you'll be betting sports forever?
No, I definitely think there's a lot more to life than betting sports, and I think we talked about this before. I realized my identity isn't a sports bettor. It's like the person I am. I think that sports betting has affected the way I view the world.
Which is a good thing.
In a good way. It's the industry I know. And so I still would love to do something like a nonprofit type situation to help bettors. And that's something that Captain Jack and I had explored back in 2020. And I hope to continue to actually be able to move forward on that at some point. Because, you know, I feel like the industry is moving in ways that aren't always great.
We'll leave it at that for the moment. We'll continue this at some other time. Can't thank you enough for coming down here, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gil.
Rufus Peabody, everybody. James Salinas on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosted guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Once again, my tennis pick of the day is Coco Gauff over Jesse Pegula. Also have the Ludmila Samsonova big dog play over Aryna Sabalenka, which got delayed from yesterday because of a lot of rain in Montreal. So those are the two tennis plays that are happening today, weather permitting, both in Montreal on the ladies' side. Always a pleasure, again, Bet Bash week, where everybody's kind enough. Just super humbled and grateful for everybody rolling through the studio down here at the South Point. James Salinas is the next who fits that bill. He is in town, not only a former VSiN guy, but a former Super Contest winner. He pulled down over $900,000. That's American, by the way. Some years ago. What was it, 4 or 5 years ago? James Salinas, everybody. How you doing, Jamesy?
Good morning, Gil. Good to see you. Actually, that was in 2015. And then the next year was third, was 2016. So it's been some time now.
And then you had a 26th. After that, a
couple years later.
Remember, it was a couple years after that. Do you remember why it was a couple years? Remember why you skipped a year? Because you came on this show every Friday, and I jinxed you.
It's your fault,
that's
my
exactly
man.
Exactly right. Yes. I know. We had Las Vegas Chris on yesterday. I consider you, Las Vegas Chris, and Steve Fezzik probably the best historical contest players, because you've had multiple years where you've just been spectacular on this. And he was fascinating yesterday because he has his own approach. You have some similarities. You have some differences. I think the most fascinating thing with you, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is you couldn't care less about anything until the season starts. Is that right?
Well, and for so you're talking about like preparing. See what's happened, what's happened in the draft, personnel moves, coaching moves, ownership changes, right? Those types of things. Typically, I do. I have in the past. I have not this year. If you ask me who's – I couldn't name all starting 32 quarterbacks right now. I don't know if anybody can because I know there's some that
quick,
are up
quick,
for grabs.
Washington, who you got? Who's starting?
I don't even know who's on the roster. And that's the beautiful thing, Gil, is yes. I don't need to right now. What do I need to – what would I need to cram for right now to learn that I can't learn in two weeks when the
This is the thing about
over.
Sports betting. Yep. It's a whole – there's so many ways to skin the cat. Right. And if anybody gives you the impression there's only one, like we just had Rufus in. Rufus is the most model driven mathematical dude in the world. Does he have a bigger brain than all of us? He does. And what he does is great. But it doesn't mean that there isn't a spectrum of success beyond that as well. Right. And so what you've done, obviously, the proof is in the pudding again with your contest. So I remember from those days, though, once the season starts, your biggest staple is you watch every play of every game.
Well, for me, it's I don't have models. I'm not smart enough to do the math with those types of things. It's I'm an eye test guy. And so for eye test, I got to watch it. I got to watch it. I got to see it. I want to see how do teams, you know, a lot of the intangibles that you think about with football, because football is such an alpha game, for one, and it's such an emotional game. And you get to see which teams are galvanized, which teams really support each other, and other ones that look pretty dysfunctional. And there's a lot of dysfunction within the league, within teams, and within locker rooms.
You believe in that stuff. It's not just narrative to you.
Absolutely. Like, leadership matters to me. And looking at it, whether it's from on the field with the players or with the coaching staff, even with the front office, like, is there a disconnect? Are these is everybody on the same page? Those types of things. So it's I don't know how to quantify that. I don't know how to be able to put that into a number to say, well, this is worth the value of chemistry and good chemistry on a team or good leadership on a team equates to this. I don't know what that looks like. I just know it when I see it.
You just know when you see it.
Yeah.
And your football background is not more particularly extensive than someone else's.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think for, you know, things have evolved. Yeah. I've been betting since the 80s as a teenager back in high school. And so my process has changed a lot. The game has changed a lot. The access now. And I think that's probably what's going to be, I think what that's going to be my biggest challenge this year is I'm going to go back to what I was doing when I was having the success in the contest prior to, you know, back a handful of years ago. Right.
So not coming on this show, first and foremost.
Yes, I won't be doing that. And I won't have anything to add. I won't have anything to offer because I'm not going to be betting anything else. I'm not going to be looking at college football. It's in the rearview mirror. I'm not going to be focused on college football. Could care less about the baseball playoffs come October. You know, all these other sports are going to start, Gil, which is great. So everybody that's getting in those contests, definitely keep yourself well-rounded and well-versed into everything that's happening.
You're
because,
like, please bet
well,
those
because
things.
To me, it's a distraction. I know for others, they can manage all that.
Right.
I can't. I can't manage all that. So I've got to narrow my focus and just strictly look at the NFL.
You bet nothing else and have no intention of betting anything else.
Nope.
By the way, with contests, you didn't come into town to sign up for contests. You didn't sign up for the standard ones, right?
Nope. I thought about it, and the reason that I'm not playing, so I'm not playing the Westgate, I'm not playing Circa this year, is because of what DraftKings offers now. And so now, not being a part of VSiN, and now I can play with DraftKings.
You live in Colorado,
yes.
Just to be clear. Yeah.
And so thinking about their structure, so they have. I'm not really a Survivor guy. I did put in some of the Survivor because I think there's going to be an overlay with the $100 entry.
You know,
for
we
that
had
one.
We had Johnny on earlier, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't anticipate an overlay."
Yeah,
I was on your
right.
I was on your page.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I think I did it just to do it, and the smaller limits. And it's great. They've got so many different price points and different, so.
Do we want to share what you entered, or would we rather not share?
No, I can. I don't
care.
Okay,
which ones did
you
enter?
I did five or six. I think I did six entries in the $100 buy-in for the Survivor. Now, Survivor's hard for me because the first thing I do when the board comes out, I look straight at the dogs. And I'm looking at which dog do I think can win outright, and that one starts to get
circled. It's a different game.
And it's part of my card.
Yeah.
Or potentially be part of my card. you know, I'm not looking at the favorites. I'm not looking at who do I think is absolutely going to win.
Salinas is playing the $10.
I struggle. Yeah. I struggle with Survivor, so I don't anticipate any of that changing.
You're like Chris. You guys don't like Survivor. It's so interesting. Whereas I think the mere mortal, like myself, right? I'm like, I'm all about Survivor and the millions of the world, right? The five pick structures of the world, whether it's Circa, whether it's Westgate, whether it's DraftKings, what you're talking about. That to me. Like almost, I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I'm giving my $1,000 as I'm giving it for that contest, I'm almost like, well, here's my donation, right? In my head, I know I said, I'm not winning this. Where Survivor, I really think, oh, I'm a player in this. I can do this. You're the exact opposite. Your brain just doesn't work that way.
Well, and the other piece with Survivor is you're looking at a full season strategy. So you're looking weeks on down the road.
Yes.
With the five pick 'em a week.
No.
I'm just looking week to week.
Sure.
And I'm not playing any futures. I'm not doing anything that's going to give me even some potential type of a bias that I might have. You know, if I have a future on a team, yes, I want them to win, but I also want them, maybe I have them to win the division. It's whoever, Kansas City. I want the rest of the AFC West teams to lose, and that might be able other people can put that out of their head. I can't. And so I don't want to have any kind of biases about other teams win or lose that I'm going to be rooting for or against. So that's why I'm not going to be betting anything.
Okay, this begs the question, because you said I have no preparation this year. This begs the question.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, okay, I was going to say, because it begs the question, then what do you do for week one? You're just throwing a dart at the board?
No. I mean, usually the first 4 weeks of the season, thereabouts, you know, we have a lot of coaching changes. And I typically, whether I'm looking to fade new coaches or I just abstain, I just stay away from the new coaches because it takes time. You're in a new leadership role. You're coming to a new team. You're trying to step in and fit in. I mean, we saw what a disaster Hackett was last year with the Broncos.
Has anybody talked about that? I'm curious.
Yeah, just a little bit. doesn't mean that new coaches can't come in and make it happen, but it usually takes some time. So I'm either looking to go against them or I stay away from that. So I'm usually looking at teams that didn't have a whole lot of turnover from last year. Mm-hmm. They're still pretty the offensive line, defensive line, the personnel is pretty much intact. The coaching staff remain the same. And I have a good idea of what they were. We know their identity going into this season. And so that's usually for the first few weeks before we get a better handle and I'm able to watch more games and see more teams. That's kind of the process early on.
Continuity matters in the NFL.
Absolutely.
You said something in there I don't want to gloss over, which is, so the average fan, right? The average fan watches the football. Oh, look, the quarterback is throwing to a wide receiver. When you're watching these games, and you're watching film during the week, you're not watching them all on Sunday, obviously. Offensive line and defensive line, is that a big part of what you do?
And the depth of the, because we know injuries are such a key factor.
That's your separator right there.
Yeah, I know we're going to hit the wall here for a minute, but I want to speak to that when we get back about why I'm playing DraftKings contest as opposed to the Circa and the Westgate. With that structure.
Well, you can go ahead.
Well, so real quickly, it's because it's really kind of the same structure. It's five picks a week. Mm-hmm. The numbers come out on Wednesday. I can do it from home since I live in Colorado and however many other states.
No proxy needed. Oh, and it's interstate. It's multiple states.
Yeah, there's multiple states. I don't know how many, maybe a dozen or so, maybe more. But the beauty with the structure of it is I've never played a Thursday game in the contest because with these contests here, you have to put in all five plays.
If you play
the
Thursday.
In this case here with DraftKings, I can just play the Thursday. I don't have to put any other plays until right up to kickoff. So Mountain Standard Time, 11 a.m., we can put our plays in for the week.
So another DraftKings contest quirk that James has just unleashed on us here or revealed, and we talked about this a little yesterday, I forgot. That is the difference. You can put in the Thursday play and hold the other four till kickoff on Sunday.
Kickoff on Sunday, so you get the inactives that come out 90 minutes prior to kickoff, so I get to see.
Can you do two before the early games and then two before the late games?
No.
You have to put them all in.
So for my case here in Colorado, it'll be 11 a.m.
Gotcha. Mountain time start. All right, more with James Salinas, Super Contest champion from 2015. What else separates him? What else is he looking at? It's very specific on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Use the BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account and bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim and to use the bonus bet after you log in. This bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotion may differ per customer. 21 and over to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas City, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY, that's Hope New York, or text HOPENY, that is 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Got all that?
When I was doing shows, that was phenomenal. Good for you to be able to roll through that.
Well, I got through it.
You've done it so many times, you've got it memorized, right?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yes. Totally memorized. I do it. When I go home, I just do it for giggles. It's James Salinas, everybody. That's the voice of James Salinas. Super contest champion from 2015, where he took down a cool $900,000+. You know, give or take a buck or two. One of the things you said, I want to get back to one of your differentiators also when you do these contests, and James has already told us, he is doing the DraftKings contest exclusively this year. Multiple pools of the DraftKings Pick'em and Survivor contest. He's not doing Circa. He's not doing Westgate. John Goulet off air was saying something interesting, which is because of what we just talked about, how you can make your picks right up to kickoff, early kickoff on Sunday, we can't actually talk about percentages Saturday and Sunday morning, right? Because we don't know what they are yet in a DraftKings. So that's an interesting quirk about it. But you mentioned something before we get back to one of your differentiators, what you look at on a weekly basis. You mentioned, hey, I don't have to use a proxy because I live in Colorado. So that eliminates that. Would you like to share the proxy story from years ago? Because I don't know that most people know this story.
Well, how many years ago was that? Maybe
Four, something like that.
It was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Just one of the well, he's not a proxy anymore because he's not allowed in either of the casinos at Westgate or at Circa anymore because I sniffed out that he had put in an entry of his own and was using all of my plays for that entry. And I sniffed it out because there was the reboot over at Westgate. And so
yeah,
we're getting down to the last couple of weeks and I'm right at the top of the leaderboard. So I'm checking to see, all right, who's where and who's what. And I'm looking at this guy has the exact, this, whatever the Betty Boop, I forget what the name it was. I think it was Betty Boop something or other.
I think it was Betty Boop.
Something like that. And I noticed, like, well, he's got, this entry has the exact same five that I have. And let me go back and start looking and start going back and looking. Like, this guy's been using all my picks. And
100% of your picks?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. I would say maybe 99%. I mean, it was throughout the duration of the season. So I confronted him about it.
Wow.
And then so I became my own proxy. So the last 3 weeks of the contest, because I was right at the top of the leaderboard, I was flying out here every Friday night to come and be my own proxy to put it in.
Hadn't this dude been a proxy for years and years?
I think so. So he's obviously no longer.
That was
so,
the end.
So Stevens and the Westgate crew, they confronted him. They got to the bottom of it. They figured out that's exactly what was going on.
He admitted it.
And it wasn't him. I think it was somebody in his family that was doing it. But they were using my picks. So,
because they knew you were you.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So anyhow, I mean, that's.
So always, for those who do need proxies for their contest, always go with the tried and true, like a Maddie in Vegas kind of.
Yeah, and I've been using Dave Tooley. So he doesn't promote it himself. It's just guys that we know, and he does that for certain people that he knows, and it's been fine. So Dave's been fine the last few years. So it's not anything against the proxies. I just don't need to do it anymore. But I think for me, the bigger thing beyond the proxy is I just get to put my plays in on Sunday morning right before kickoff.
Sure.
Because I want to process as much information as I can. And I don't want to do it on Saturday, Gil. I'm recently retired, so I'm living a different life now. I'm going to be able to be more present. I want to be more present for my family. I want to be more present for my son. Plays high-level tennis and baseball, and I missed a lot of those things over the last few years on those weekends. I wasn't able to be available. I wasn't able to be to be present, and so now I'm looking forward to being able to do that. And my Saturdays are going to be with family and doing those. Sunday's going to be my thing. They know, all right, Pops is working on Sundays, doing his NFL thing, but it's going to be a nice change.
You're what, early 50s?
52.
Oh, you've retired young. It's a beautiful thing.
52. Although I've been in Vegas for about 36 hours. I think I've slept for about 3 hours over the course of the last 36 hours. Yeah. I'm glad I have. As soon as we're done here, I'm jumping on a plane and going home, so I'll be able to catch up on some sleep. So I feel like I'm 102 today.
Yeah.
But usually, yeah, 52 is doing pretty well.
Were you a I don't play Thursday night games guy because you had to put on in all five?
Or absolutely.
Oh, that was the reason.
Yes.
It wasn't because, oh, I don't know the whole week and it's a short week. And it was just because of that.
It was because, because you have to submit all five because I want to get as much information through the practices and the practice reports.
Okay, so you just
with
let
Thursday and Friday.
You just let into the next thing because this was the other staple. In addition to you watching every play of every game, are you watching all 22 or are you just watching the actual broadcast of these games?
Previously I was. Now I know there's the how is it?
All 22?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Where it just condenses it, right? So you can go back during the week.
You're talking about the snap to snap condensed versions. That's right. You didn't even know those existed at the time.
When I first started, I didn't. So it's been nice not to have to run through 3 hours of a football game anymore.
So the reports, you were very clear about it's not this report you're supposed to be looking at. It's actually this one later in the week. Explain that.
It's the practice reports. I know there's the injury report, and they fudge on those a lot. Belichick, everybody's questionable for the New England Patriots. Yeah. The whole roster's on the list is questionable, but it's more so to what extent did they practice? Because they'll say limited, but that might mean they were just stretching on the sideline, and so you have to read between the lines with a lot of those things. Maybe not going to be as challenging this year because now that I get to put the plays in right up to kickoff, at least for the majority of the early games, and it feels like in the early session we have like 9 games.
Yeah, they do a terrible.
And then there's like 3 in the afternoon and then the evening, right?
So I'm already getting upset.
So I would say at least 80% of that, I'm going to know all the inactives because that comes out 90 minutes prior. So maybe I don't have to spend as much time going through, and I probably still will because it's part of the process, but maybe I won't have to commit as much time reading into all the practice reports throughout the week. Mm-hmm. I can just have it clarified for me come 90 minutes prior to kickoff with the inactives when that's released.
I was asking Rufus, just macro betting, what he thinks the biggest thing that bettors could, what's his biggest piece of advice? And we talked about that with you with contests. Is that the biggest single piece of advice that you have to look at the practice reports, that injury reports, again, questionable, probable, whatever it is? That's one thing. But to see who is limited, who is out, as the week goes on, right? Wednesday's practice report is one thing, but Fridays as the week goes on, it becomes that much more important. That, coupled with your knowledge, which we talked about last segment, of knowing offensive lines, knowing the drop-off from starters to non-starters, obviously their cluster injuries, that's a huge thing. Is that the biggest thing that people miss?
Well, I don't know about what people miss. I just know for me, that's the biggest thing that knowing the depth of a team and the level of talent within that depth. So especially on the offensive line and the defensive line, but in particular up front offensively, because it's you talk about a crew that needs to be in sync together, and now you have the center's out this week, and now you have a rookie free agent that's going to play center. I mean, those kind of things matter. At least for me, they do. Again, I don't know how to quantify that and give it a value.
Right.
I just know when I see it that that's important to me. And so knowing the depth and the talent of the depth, is it good or is it how – every team's got – you got 53-man roster, but that doesn't mean all 53 are really good ball players.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know what the talent level is.
5 picks a week in these contests. Do you go into each – I mean, again, mere mortal versus you. Someone like me, I'll go into it. I'll be like, well, the line you're trying to hit every week is 3 out of 5, right? 60%. You can do better than that, obviously. 5-0, 4-1, great. 3-1-1, whatever it is. But 3-2 is that if you are to compete in this, that's got to be your benchmark every week. Is that what you're thinking?
I think so. I think when I first did it, I would looked at it like it was 17 weeks. I needed 9. I was shooting for 9 weeks of 4-1 and 8 weeks of 3-2, and that was right around the 70 percentile. The 70% win percentage that you kind of need to hit these contests
nowadays with these massive
and that's the
pools.
Challenge, right? These contests are getting there's thousands and thousands. There's a couple thousand when I was doing the Westgate when I won it, but now it's like doubled and even tripled.
Yeah,
close to it.
Do you look at yourself, because I always say, 1 year is 85 games, right? 5 times 17. It's 85 games. Anybody can run hot for 85 games. You've done this at least 3 years where you were first, third, 26th, right? Some people never sniff any of those. When was the moment where you said to yourself, and obviously maybe the obvious answer is, well, I won the whole thing. That's when I knew. But when was the moment where you thought, oh, I'm actually really good at this? This isn't a small sample size thing.
I don't know how to answer that, Gil. I'm really good at. Yeah. I guess when I get paid. So yeah. I get to go and I go cash that check. Okay. It's like, okay, I think I did pretty well because I'm making money. And that's just it. And that's why I'm not doing any other future. What future am I going to play? I'm not putting down 50 grand on some team to win the Super Bowl. What future am I going to bet that's going to give me the return rate of what I'm buying in for, like these contests? And that's why I'm not going to do anything else other than the contest. And in this case here, it's this DK this year.
James, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate you making the time. I know you're headed to the airport. And thanks to everybody who was kind enough to come through the studio this week. Not only James, but Rufus Peabody, Jason Weingarten today, Rob Pizzola, Matt Buckalter, Tim Lawson. The list goes on and on. Las Vegas Chris, just super humbled by it. I'm headed to do a panel. I know Mitch is doing his right now over at Bet Bash. Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.